ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः।
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इस् इन्फिनिट् एण्ड् दिस् यूनिवर्स् इस् आल्सो इन्फिनिट्। दि इन्फिनिट् प्रोसीड्स् फ्रम् दि इन्फिनिट्। टेकिङ्ग् दि इन्फिनिट्यूड् आफ् दि इन्फिनिट् यूनिवर्स्, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We started the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Yesterday I gave you considerable amount of introduction, and today we will take up the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. Let us recollect, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belongs to the Shukla Yajurveda, and the author is Yajnavalkya, and he obtained this entire Veda, the white Yajurveda, by the grace of Surya Deva. Surya Deva is also equated with Ishvara because he is the giver of life. Giver of light means giver of life. He is both the subject as well as the object. So this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is one of the not only biggest, but the, I would say, the best of all the Upanishads. Why? Because every idea that we get in any other Upanishad is also available here and in greater detail. And also, what we do not get elsewhere, we get here and crystal clearly. So this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad has got 6 chapters, but it is, or it can be divided into 3 parts. What is the first part? It is called Madhukanda. Kanda means a section, chapter. So here, and Kanda is a chapter, and Brahmana is a section. Now, in this Madhukanda, or the chapter called Madhu, the word Madhu means honey. What is honey? That in this world, everything is Brahman. And Brahman is manifesting both as the subject as well as the object. Everything is a subject and everything is an object at the same time. There is an interrelation between the subject and the object. Not only that, there is an interrelationship between every little thing in this srishti, manifested world. As the scientific saying goes, if a butterfly flutters its wings here, there would be alteration in the course of the stars. This may not be an exact phrase, but very nearly that. So we may wonder, how can this tiny insect's fluttering can alter the course of those stars, which in their turn, when they alter their course, you will have to understand what tremendous cataclysmic effect it can have on the entire creation. So, this Madhukanda wants to prove to us what is called the interrelationship, not only between the subject and object, but between everything in this world. Is there a relationship between the iceberg which are found in the northern side, Arctic area? Yes. If that ice starts melting, cataclysmic changes in temperatures take place all over at least our known world. So if that is the effect. Everything is totally interdependent. And what is it that we want? Why are we dependent?
because everybody wants ananda. In fact, everybody wants three things. Sat, chit and ananda. I want to be, I do not want not to be. Then I want to know. My infinite mind wants to know infinite, wants to have infinite knowledge. When a mind attains to that infinity, it cannot be called a mind any longer. It has to be called Ishvara, Sarvajna or Brahman. Of course, we all want Ananda. What is Ananda? Not limited by time, space and causation. That is called Ananda. What is Sukha? That which is the Ananda, which is limited by time, space and causation, is called Sukha. And if it is more Sukha, it means less Dukha. If it is less Sukha, means more Dukha. This is how you have to equate. And this first Kanda chapter, Madhukanda, the primary teaching is called Upadesha. That's why it is also known as Upadesha Kanda, the chapter giving Upadesha. Upadesha means spiritual teaching. And what is the spiritual teaching? That which leads finally to the knowledge of Brahma. So, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad as well as some other Upanishads also, because the basic ideas are there in practically in every Upanishad. For example, Ishavasya Medagum Sarva. The very first mantra in the Ishavasya Upanishad, that Ishvara, the ruler, he alone is manifesting as this entire world, just as an example, clay alone is manifesting as any number of its products, small, big, different sizes, different shapes, different capacities, different even colors, etc. You know, you are familiar. Many sadhus, they take, there is a particular type of clay and if they melt it, put it in the water, it takes on the color of the ochre. And in that, when white cloths are dipped, they also become colored. So, different colored earths are there. Nowadays, people are discovering this earth as rare minerals and rare things that are needed by the most modern technical objects to create a mobile phone or to create a chip. These rare earths, rare materials, it is all nothing but pure earth. But the point is not that. The point is that the earth cannot be existing without depending upon Brahman in the form of the sun. So, the relationship between them is, so, the benefactor, supporter, and supported. So, Madhu, the word Madhu means that one. And whenever we are in harmony, in relationship, harmony always means relationship. When we are in harmony, first of all, body-mind harmony. Second, the individual and also the body or physical body also must be in harmony with the entire nature. Then this individual called a combination of body and mind complex along with consciousness must be in favorable relationship with everything in this world. Whether it is earth, water or fire, everything is necessary. So oxygen, air and space, what happens? Without understanding this, when one way pollute it, the consequences, like a person spitting into the space, it falls on his own head, is what we need to understand this. So everything depends upon everybody else. And as I mentioned yesterday, and all that relationships are categorized as five. And is a constant, life is a constant, receiving and giving. And we are receiving. And we do not wish to give. And voluntarily to give, after understanding this fact, is called a yajna, a sacrifice. So, pancha maha yajna. So, this is the first kanda. And this is also compared to shravana. Because once only we understand this, that I cannot be existing, I cannot be having knowledge, I cannot be happy unless I am in very close relationship, harmonious relationship with everything else in this world. Even the slightest differentiation can create big problems. Then, if I understand this and transform our life, my life, then I will be the happiest person. But the purpose of all this harmony is to lead us to that ultimate Brahmajnanam, and that is the Upadesha. One gets it. This is how the first part of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is divided. The second part is called Yajnavalkya Kanda, or it is also called Muni Kanda. Yajnavalkya is the main teacher here throughout this second part, second chapter, and he is also called a Muni. Yajnavalkya was an enlightened rishi, but he was leading a householder's life. We will come to the details later on. But he gradually progressed and he wanted to enter into sannyasashrama. And that proves that the whole Hindu's life, as per the teaching of the Vedas, is to go step after step towards self-knowledge. So we have to confine ourselves to the first stage, learning stage, as I said, Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, practicing stage and experiencing stage. Third stage is the stage of withdrawal from the external and identifying with the internal. This is corresponding to the Vanaprastha Ashrama. And finally, when we are ready, we enter into that state of Kevalatvam, that is aloneness, that is identity with the universal self, no differentiation at all, pure non-duality. That is called sannyasashrama. And Yajnavalkya beautifully illustrates this sannyasa, varna sannyasa dharma through his life practically. That's what Sri Ramakrishna had done. If we have the capacity to understand his life properly, so in this particular second chapter called Munikanda, after hearing, what is the next step? Manana. After Shravana comes Manana. So the Manana has to be done. What is Manana? Removing any possible doubt. And when all doubts are removed, we are convinced of the truth. That is called removal of doubt. If we still doubt, that's not conviction. That is not Shraddha. When we succeed in that Manana stage, then we will be possessed, or Shraddha possesses us. Then our whole goal of life will be only towards Brahma Vidya. So this is also called, as I said, Muni Kanda, Yajnavalkya Kanda, but not only this one Kanda. The entire Shukla Yajurveda is attributed to Yajnavalkya. So it is also called Vajasaneyi Samhita. So Vajasaneyi, that is, since he obtained this knowledge from the Surya Bhagava. Samhita means his experiences elucidated through statements. So Yajnavalkya is the main guru, and he has debates over many, not ordinary scholars, but sadhakas in themselves, but he clears their doubts, helps them from wherever they are to move forward to higher state. That is the second part. And then we come to the third part. It is called Khila Kandaha. So in this part we get many, many karmas, upasanas especially, and rituals. It is called Khila Kanda because Khila means a compilation of many, many topics are there. For example, how a husband and wife can convert their union into one of the greatest yajnas. So creation of a child is one of the greatest yajnas, whether we understand it or not. how much father and mother had to labor just so that their children grow up and try to become worthy. Parents can only try that much, but they sacrifice their selfishness for the sake of the children is a great sacrifice. But that's a lower meaning. Higher meaning is, because they are my children, I am instinctively sacrificing myself. That is what animals also do. No, consciously I convert into a spiritual practice. So, this is also included in this third part, which is called Khilakanda. So, everything in life, right from birth until death, Hindu samskaras we call them, the whole life is full of sacraments. What is a sacrament? That which makes us sacred, pure, gradually takes us towards our goal, which is, in Sri Ramakrishna's words, God realization. That is called a sacrament. And there are many sacraments, but usually around 40 plus are counted, 42 according to some. And there are some special textbooks which deal only with Hindu samskaras. So there are also various upasanas. We have dealt with this. What is upasana? That which takes us nearer to our own self. That is called an upasana. And we have to speak a little bit more about it, which we will do that when we are discussing the meaning of the word Upanishad. Because upasana, upavasa, upasadana, that is approaching the guru, fasting. Upa is a prefix. In every language there are prefixes and also postfixes. And that enhances the meaning of the word or sometimes alters the meaning of the word. For example, Ashoka was a great soul. He was full of sorrow, but he overcame following the teachings of Buddha. So that Shoka turned into Ashoka. That means great bliss. Shoka, Ashoka. Himsa, Ahimsa, etc. So these Khilakanda is like various baskets and having various mixed objects, grains, food materials, etc., etc. They are not arranged in a systematic manner. Such supplementary sections are also called Anubandhas, appear in various parts of the Vedas. They are usually called appendices. So, each section, we said three chapters, and each of these again subdivided into two chapters. So, Brihadaranyaka has a total of six chapters. Each chapter contains several sections, and every section contains several mantras. And these sections are called Brahmana. We should not misunderstand the caste Brahmini, but as a section, a chapter subdivided into sections. Now, what is the meaning of this word, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? First, we will take out Brihadaranyaka. Brihat means huge. Aranyaka means a forest. So, the name of this Upanishad is Brihadaranyaka. So, Brihat means very, very, very big. And really, it is one of the biggest of the Upanishads, and even the commentary of Sri Shankaracharya upon this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is also the largest, even slightly larger than Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad is the next largest Upanishad that we get. So, this Brihadaranyaka is large. We can understand it in two ways. It is large in size and large also in quality. Quality means the highest spiritual teachings, we find them here. In fact, that what we call asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amrutangamaya, these three mantras are called abhyaroha mantras, gradually moving from a lower step to the highest step. First, we make our life healthy and strong. And secondly, We use this life to obtain more and more true knowledge. And even a true knowledge of the world helps us in spiritual life. Once we come to know, everything in this world is changing, mithya, not dependable. Then our mind becomes anxious to find out something upon which we can, without any doubt, depend. Of course, once we know who we are Brahmananda Swarupa. So, that not only in the teaching, but in size also, that is why this is called Brihadaranyaka. Brihat, that is the meaning we discussed. So, in this Upanishad, we see that a distilled teaching of Vedanta is available. Next word is Aranyaka. So, Aranyaka means, you know, when after Grihastashrama, a sincere, true Hindu retires. Then, as a preparation for sannyasa, he wants to go to a solitary place or a forest. Forest, in the olden days, outside, you step outside their villages, you find huge tracts of forest. And there, it is not that every forest is infested with dangerous animals. There are so many forests where it is very peaceful, and of course there will be some animals, birds, insects, everything will be there. It is full of life, but danger is very, very less. Everywhere there will be danger, no doubt about it. Every forest is not crawling with ferocious mammoth tigers and mammoth elephants. If somebody fears snakes, he perceives snakes everywhere. So, because these profound truths require that solitude and no disturbance, Aranya is a place where there is so much of solitude available, and it also supplies most often roots and fruits and vegetables which can improve our sattva-guna, but at the same time very healthy also. And many rishis and munis used to dwell there, living a very simple life, cultivating whatever is available there very easily, not laboring the whole day. And rest of the time, they used to hear, discuss, sometimes alone, sometimes in groups, most often in groups, most often under the guidance of a loving, competent teacher. And preparatory for sannyasa life. Sannyasins also, they also live in forests usually. So that is why Aranya means forest. Aranyaka means that knowledge where people strive to obtain in forest areas. That is why it is called Aranyaka. And it is also studied in the Vanaprastha stage. An Aranyaka state is not meant for household. They have to live in a place where they can labor, they can earn money, and they can educate their children, they can interact with society and carry on numerous activities, but all as directed by the scripture, as guided, do this and don't do this. We got this, a glimpse of it in brief in the 11th section of the first chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad called Sikshavali. So, normally, ritualistic parts of the Veda belong to the Grihastha. But the Aranyaka part belongs to Vanaprastha because it is a preparation to progress into sannyasa state. But there are so many upasanas, and these upasanas can be done when we are not disturbed, and they have to be practiced for a long, long time. If you still remember, we see Sri Ramakrishna, that how Sri Ramakrishna is at night, as soon as the temple is closed, he will run towards that Panchavati area, which is a mini forest and full of snakes, and people believed full of ghosts also. Because remember, it was a crematorium, Muslim crematorium, belong to a purchased by a Anglo-Indian, and Rani Rasmani purchased it there. It's a quite a big area. Now because of the huge buildings, shops, malls, everything that came, the whole beauty is completely destroyed. But even when my first visit to Dakshineswar was so memorable, there were very, very few shops. They were at a distance on the way to the temple. But once we enter into the temple compound, it is all only those three buildings and then full of these ponds and other that forest area. So Sri Ramakrishna used to enter there and spend practically whole night until the time came for him to again take up his duties in the temple. And Hriday, as we know, tried to disturb him, and you have to recollect that incident. So in this Upasana Kanda, meditative practice, so here the vanaprasthis attain concentration, expansion, then their understanding becomes deep, and that is where they do the manana, deep thinking. So that is how slowly the desire, the faith in God increases. As the faith in God increases, the desire for the realization of God, He is my mother, my father, my guru, my friend, my well-wisher, everything. I don't have anybody in this world. Here, after attaining mental maturity, a person by this, maybe the same guru, is initiated into the Vedantic three-stepped sadhana, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And here Shravana has a special meaning, not merely listening to the Upanishads, etc., but to obtain from a qualified teacher and given only to a qualified student, Mahavakya Shravana. And try finding out usually to which Veda, the guru belongs, or the guru tradition belongs. So each guru, accepting one Veda, and every Veda, as we discussed, has a special Mahavakya. So for example, this Yajurveda has got Aham Brahmasmi, etc. So that is the mantra given, and that indicates this is how you will have to realize I am Brahman. And as I mentioned yesterday, even though I tried to give an order to it, but it is not that everybody has to get initiation four times into each of the Mahamantras. No. One, if it is continued. So for example, if somebody is initiated into Prajnanam Brahma, he progresses spiritually, mentally into Ayamatma Brahma, then the Guru's words ring in his mind, Tattvamasi, and by God's and Guru's grace, one day he realizes, yes, Aham Brahmasmi. That means, I know now what my Guru knows, what his Guru knows. I am one with Brahman, because there is nothing separate, different, distinct from Brahman. So this is why sannyasa is also compared to a arnika state, because that is, everything is given up. Sannyasa means complete transference of one's body, mind to God. That is called sannyasa. And there were many individual rishis. In fact, throughout every teaching of the Veda is nothing but a revelation by one spiritually advanced rishi or other. That is why it is called rishi, rishati, janati, one who realized a small bit of the Brahmagnanam, and that is because the mind is limited, so it can only grasp to its full, like an ant. Sri Ramakrishna compares them to an ant. It just takes one grain of sugar and it fills its stomach, and then it takes one and then it thinks, next time I will come, I will carry a whole sugar hill, which is never possible. It is like you touch any part of the ocean or Ganges river, You have touched the entire ocean, entire Ganges. So once we have that idea that I am Brahman, that's it. No more. Thereafterwards, if the body remains, such a person will be known as Jivan Mukta. And then he is specially controlled and regulated by Brahman himself in the form of Ishvara for the good of the world, whether he does anything consciously or not. Every breath of his will be for the welfare of the world. This is the power of vibrations. So as sannyasi, here we have to understand, there were so many rishis who were realized souls. Yajnavalkya himself was not only a married person, he had two wives, but he was a vidvat sannyasi. Sannyasa is divided into two categories, vividisha sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. Vividisha sannyasa means one takes up sannyasa in a proper manner if there are no unavoidable responsibilities for the sake of progressing in spiritual life to obtain brahmajnanam. So he doesn't have brahmajnanam, but he wants to obtain brahmajnanam. He is very keen to obtain. Vividisha means to know and to realize Brahman, that deep desire. So that Isha means desire. Bhubutsa, desire to eat. Pipasa, the desire to drink. Jignasa, desire to know. So Vividisha, desire to know, to have Brahmagnana. But the higher, as he progresses, one day he realizes, then he becomes a vidvat, means a realized soul. So Yajnavalkya was such a realized soul. Still, he wanted to make that ideal of sannyasa bright. There was no need for him to take sannyasa. Sri Ramakrishna had no need to take sannyasa. Similarly, Jesus Christ, Buddha, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had Rama, Krishna, they had no need to become sannyasins. Krishna was a householder Brahmagnani. Rama was a householder Brahmagnani. But some people take for the sake of establishing an ideal and keeping it bright. That's why Swami Shardhanji says in his The Great Master that Sri Ram Krishna, even though he was a married person, he took sannyasa and yet kept Holy Mother by his side because he was a Brahmagnani. True knower of Brahman. Very interesting, because Sri Ramakrishna specifically asked, I am a married person. Totapuri replied, if you are a Brahmagnani, then these relationships will all be burnt by the knowledge of Brahman. That is why Sri Ramakrishna wanted to test himself, whether I am a real Brahmagnani or not. He found out through testing that his mind never wants to come down from that state of Brahman. Only with great difficulty, a little bit he will come down. How much he will come down? If we have to have faith in Sri Ramakrishna's words, the person whose kundalini has risen to Sahasrara, whose jivatma became merged in with Shiva in Sahasrara Chakra, of thereafter, his mind can come down at best to the level of Anahata Chakra, the heart chakra. Not more than that. It won't come below. Because below means is not a non-spiritual state, is called the three lower chakras. So, these sannyasins, grihastha sannyasins. That is, sannyasa is mental state, not a physical state. Some people take physical sannyasa. When opportunity comes, they have no responsibilities. Probably, is not married, parents are dead, and family is being looked after by others, or there is none. He says, why should I waste my time in this worldly state? Let me take sannyasa and devote my life exclusively to spiritual practice. But many of the householders, for example, Naga Mahashaya was more than a monk, as far as we know. Holy Mother never took physical sannyasa. Even though we should not think she is the divine mother, but from ordinary point of view, she was the greatest householder, sannyasini, no doubt about it. So there are so many householders who lived absolutely, even M, lived like a sannyasi, but fulfilling the commandment of Sri Ramakrishna to distribute among thirsting spiritual aspirants what little he had understood. But he lived. I'll give you a small example, even though I had given it earlier. Once a senior Swami, and of course, our senior Swami is very much junior to M, who was very much older. And they wanted to keep company of M. Why? Because M never speaks any worldly thing. He speaks only what he understood, what he heard from Sri Ramakrishna. He was also a deeply learned man. He was a scholar in Bhagavatam. That's why he named the very gospel as Kathamrita. That word Kathamrita he had taken from the Gopi Gita. Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibhiriditam Kalmashapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigrinanti Ete Bhuridajana. So this Swami, I forget his name, he was an elderly Swami, he visited one day, all of a sudden, there was nothing called your phone and visit, and then M immediately, with a joyful face, came and received him, and then took him to his drawing room, visitor's room, and say, according to Sri Ramakrishna's instruction, every sadhu, every devotee must be offered a bit of sweet, or at least water. So he offered some sweets and some water. And then the Swami later on was recollecting. I noticed so many people coming into the house and going out of the house. And he heard also loud weeping. He asked M, what is that weeping for? And then M, you know what M replied, without the least bit of change in his very serene spiritual face, oh, Swami, in householder's life, so many ups and downs will be there, and please do not pay attention to them. Let us talk joyfully about Sri Ramakrishna. And then they spoke for some time. Of course, we have to understand, M was the speaker because he was considered as Sri Ramakrishna's representative. So after that, the Swami went away, but he came to know one of the children of M died that previous night or that day, but the serenity on the face of M never wavered, because he understood the instruction of Sri Ramakrishna, live like a maid servant in a rich man's house. So most of the people can be sannyasins even while living in the household. No need to take external. But if somebody is free, if they want, they can take sannyasa. And both vanaprasthis and the renunciates, they prefer to live in undisturbing places. That's why it is also called a aranyaka. Aranya also means cultivating complete detachment by being away from worldly affairs, which would be easier, rather than be in the midst of worldly situations, try to cultivate detachment, which will be very difficult. That's why Sri Ramakrishna used to advise his devotees now and then go into solitude. Now, what is the meaning of Upanishad? So, Shankaracharya gives us beautiful explanation. This word Upanishad is equivalent to Brahma Vidya. How do we come to that? So according to Shankara, this word Upanishad is divided into three parts, Upa, Ni and Sad. Sad is the root, Ni and Upa are the prefixes. So these indicate that this Upanishad helps us in gaining Brahma Vidya and all the rules, practices required to attain that Brahma Vidya, and how one should get that Brahma Vidya, the methodology. So let us look briefly at three of these things. Sat means that which destroys. What does this? We are talking about the Upanishad. or the knowledge, precisely the knowledge, not the book, but what the book teaches. And that is Brahma Vidya. If heard, if thought deeply, and accordingly transform our lives, then it will give us the knowledge, I am what I am seeking, that is called Aham Brahmasmi. And when a person attains to this state, two things will happen. Avidya, ignorance. What is ignorance? I am not Brahman, that is ignorance, is destroyed. I am Brahman is automatically revealed. So destruction of the ignorance, destruction of the result of ignorance, which is called tapatraya, threefold suffering, and automatically we don't need to do anything to obtain the knowledge I am Brahman, because I am Brahman, and that is called liberation. So Brahma avidya nashe samsara karya nashaha. So once the ignorance regarding Brahman is totally annihilated, destroyed, its result, which is called samsara, that is the effect, is also completely destroyed. As an analogy, when light is brought, first of all the notion that this is a snake, and it's, that is called avidya, and the result is fear, palpitation, heart attack, that also will be destroyed simultaneously. We don't need to say the result is to know that it is a snake. There is no need, because when avidya is removed, we know instinctively what it is, what I am. And when the cause is destroyed, the effect also gets destroyed simultaneously. So cause destroyed, effect also is destroyed. So this Brahma Vidya gives us two fruits. Pratyaksha phalam destroys ignorance as well as its result, which is suffering. Paroksha phalam, it immediately liberates us and makes us know automatically without any effort that I am Brahma. Just as light is brought into a dark room, it destroys the darkness, and there is no need to say you reveal. That is not a second act. Its purpose is remove the darkness, remove the ignorance of what things are there. Both take place simultaneously, and we know what are the things that are already there. Just as an example. So destruction of the ignorance and its effect, and revelation, automatic revelation that I was free, I am free, I will be free. These are the two results of this Brahma Vidya, and that is what the root meaning of Sat, complete, non-returnable, non-repeatable, because it won't come again, of the destruction of avidya. Beautiful thoughts are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Hey, Ramakrishna.